Hello and welcome everybody to episode 98 of the No Normal Show for Thursday, March 25th, brought to you by Revive Health. This is our weekly deep dive to how hospital and health system marketers can navigate what we call the No Normal. I'm Chase Kleckner, the show's producer and today's guest host. Chris is on vacation and most likely having a nice pina colada on the beach right now while we speak. But just like Jeopardy's executive producer once said, the show must go on. So we've got Gretchen Smitson filling in today as our producer. Thanks for joining us on the show, Gretchen.
Glad to be here.
And we're also joined today by Bjorn Gunnerud. Bjorn is the Senior Vice President of Strategy at Revive Health and is an accomplished marketing and communications leader with more than 20 years of experience elevating global, regional, and startup brands in both corporate and consulting practice roles. Bjorn joined Revive Health after leading marketing and communications at Children's Minnesota for 8 years. There, he was the executive responsible for all marketing and communication programs, including development of the brand, championing a remarkable end-to-end consumer experience, leading clinical marketing and physician outreach, and also driving internal communication alignment. Prior to that, he was the vice president of marketing at MinuteClinic, the largest provider of retail healthcare in the country. There, he led early efforts to drive trial and adoption by parents and employers and helped create the integrated value proposition inside of CVS Health. Hey, Bjorn, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chase. Good to see you finally at the helm.
Yeah, excited about it. Well, before we jump into the show, I've got a few notes. On this podcast, we'll be sharing industry trends, research, stories from those within and outside of the industry, and other ideas and content to help health system marketers navigate what we call the no normal successfully. If you want to understand more about what we mean by the no normal, key principles, check out our blog post, which Gretchen will be sharing a link to in the chat. For our live listeners, please use the question tool in Zoom to line up your questions, and we'll get to as many of them as possible. All right, Bjorn, let's dive into it. Today, we're going to be talking about the four trends that really stemmed from COVID-19 that marketers must continue on after this crisis is over, which I think is a really important conversation and relevant to your kind of how you spent the last 12 months. So before we dive into the four trends, how about you give us a little bit of an idea of how you spent the last 12 months?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show today. Excuse me. So it's been an interesting year. I think it's been an interesting year for everyone, without a doubt. I think as a marketer, my last year, so I actually spent the first 6 months of the pandemic serving as the interim chief marketing and communications officer for Henry Ford Health System out of Southeast Michigan. And as you likely recall, one of the harder hit areas of the country at the start of this pandemic. So I've really kind of seen the pandemic from inside of a major health system. And then as we've kind of shifted towards more work around the vaccine, I've resumed my role, as you said, as a strategist inside of Revive Health. Now consulting with so many of our great clients on how we manage through this next phase of the pandemic.
It's definitely an interesting perspective to add. So I'm excited to dive into the four trends that we've kind of come up with so far and hear it from you because you've lived it. And so many of the people listening to today's show have lived it too. So let's talk about the first trend, which you call pace of play. What do you mean by this?
So pace of play, I mean, I think, let's face it. So, you know, terms like Operation Warp Speed are things that many of us would likely prefer to put in the rearview mirror. But, you know, managing through COVID testing and education and community shutdowns, and now as we've gotten into the vaccines, you know, from my perspective, it's really forced health systems, it's forced marketing teams to move at a different speed, agility, and level of decision making. And while, of course, I mean, there are things to learn that we want to move past. I think there's a lot to learn from this time in our lives that we definitely want to take forward as well. So I think pace of play is something that is definitely a trend to take a lot of good forward into the future.
It feels like COVID really forced us to remove the nice to haves in our marketing plans and our kind of comms plans, and really drove us into what seems like two really areas, which was driving surgical volume back and then also just managing the crisis from a communication standpoint from in our communities. What's the importance there of continuing that kind of that pace of play and that decision making to the future of the marketing teams?
Well, I mean, I think part of, I mean, in my mind, what's most important right now. So if you ask most marketing teams, most marketing leaders, I think there's a little bit of, I mean, one, people are just trying to get through it like most organizations whole, because there's been high burnout, right? I mean, everyone's exhausted. I mean, we're all exhausted mentally, physically, and just want to get past, you know, obviously can't overlook just how many lives have been lost and how many lives have been impacted from this pandemic. But I think generally speaking, as marketers, as communicators, we feel like we've been in crisis mode. And I think crisis always creates sort of a different level of intensity and collaboration. But to me, the piece that have been really kind of advising clients to do, and even while at Henry Ford, was trying to make sure that we don't miss out on the chance to also try to document some of the things that we're doing differently. Because I think there's a lot to be gained in trying to understand, again, like what actually might be working better. Like you said, what are things that we've actually stopped doing that in truth didn't matter all that much in the past, and we should be honest about whether we need to bring it back. But just making sure that, again, we don't sort of walk by this.
Yeah. Kind of to that point, which is leading into our second trend, is we saw this focus and alignment, which is kind of your second trend that we'll dive into more.
Yeah.
Organizationally, like it wasn't just an alignment from a marketing and communication standpoint, but truly there was an alignment organization-wide to really end the pandemic. And that was the focus this last 12 months. Tell us a little bit more on how we want the need for that to continue and why that's so important for the future of our industry and staying relevant.
Yeah, I mean, so right. So if you want to talk about that sort of trend number two, focused in alignment, I mean, absolutely. So from my perspective, so marketers, like we're constantly in the crosshairs of, I don't know, what I would call bad organizational prioritization. In truth, like every system I've ever been a part of, from the inside or the outside, is well-intentioned, right? I mean, we're mission-driven organizations, and it's hard to say no to things that matter, particularly when you're impacting lives the way that a health system does. But you're right. I mean, I think when you look at people, processes, strategies, even investment over the last year, every single thing has been pointed towards really one thing. And that's ending the pandemic. And I think there's something to be gained and learned from that. And so soon and already, right, there's a desire to start to shift that focus and start to think about getting back to normal. But that also kind of sends some shivers up my spine, because walking away too fast, I think we're going to ignore a really important lesson.
It seems like moving too fast is almost maybe there's a fear of going back to how things were, right? And how we used to make decisions, or how there were so many priorities organization wide. What's the best way we can kind of keep that mentality of organization wide? We had that one goal, that one objective. It feels like unless we have an intent focus on minimizing the kind of mixed priorities, there's just a sense of that the quick decision that we had in the COVID crisis is going to go back to that kind of slow decision making.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's like you said, and the pandemic, right? Everybody is motivated for different reasons, but all with the same purpose.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, like, you know, if we were to look at all of every health system's vision statement, like, how clear are those vision statements versus how ambiguous are those vision statements? You know, how many are sort of centered on just the idea of, you know, bringing better health, or in some cases, like, we want to be best, which don't have that same sort of sharpness and precision as I think, again, what the last year has shown us when you really align efforts around one thing. Now, one thing isn't feasible. So it's not to say let's every organization should focus on one thing, but fewer things, and fewer things that are bigger that you can actually start to figure out in order to do this thing, what are the things we have to say yes to, and what are the things we have to say no to in a way that we haven't done or been willing to do in the past.
Yeah. And I think as marketers, say no, I feel like that's always been a, not necessarily a downside of ours, but we're idea generative people, right? We like the kind of new, big, bold thinking. And so it's really drilling into those things that really move the needle.
For sure. Well, and I mean, I think of, it was interesting, like, we were having some conversation the other day about institutions like Optum Health.
Yeah.
You know, and how they've kind of taken this time and this crisis. And I think as you look at UHG, as they've kind of bought, acquired, built the continuum of healthcare, how you're starting to see them get out and actually start to talk about it. You know, starting to see bigger sort of ad campaigns talking about the work. And I don't know, I think as health systems, we need to be paying attention to that. In some cases, health systems are partnering to be in part included in that. But many aren't. And, you know, I think there, again, is something to be said. Likewise, like, I think of Amazon Health, and, you know, Amazon Health is coming. So again, back to the vision and the purpose, you know, if we're just going to get back to the business of sick care without recognizing, you know, Amazon Health and what they're doing in the corporate health space, but how many people they're going to start to impact, how many people they're willing to offer virtual and then create people come in direct to your house. Like, things are changing, right? We've got to think about how we prioritize and focus ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, if there's any company out there that understands consumers, that's Amazon, right? And I think that leads us into kind of our next point. And I think we can't look at the COVID crisis without seeing the meteoric rise in the desire for consumer data and preferences, especially in health systems too, of really trying to get at what people are thinking, what people are fearing, what are their fears, who do they trust in this pandemic? What was it about this crisis that really desire to understand the consumer, what felt like a newer level than we ever have as health systems?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's sort of happened at different stages with different levels of need, right? I mean, I think early on, it probably came through more of the negative space, which was an early awareness that when it came to the ability to receive care and in some cases get tested, there was certainly a belief of equity issues, right? That people of color were being mistreated. I think that forced health systems to pay attention, you know? So I'd certainly say that I think was one spark. I think the other then with vaccines is the flip is trying to now, based on legacy trust, but now when you're trying to distribute vaccines and make sure that everyone kind of has confidence and belief in the power of these new vaccines, you're going back to those same communities of people and saying, you know, hey, with this vaccine, trust us and take a shot in the arm. And there's just a lot of like colliding messages emotions, conversations that I think have just forced, you know, health systems, marketers, like we all have to kind of get real with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also been some challenges, I would say, trying to leverage this consumer data, some of us more prepared than others, whether that's our adoption of CRM, whether that was a year ago, or if we're still in the same process, if we're in the process of adopting it. I think back on a conversation we had with Amy from Emory Healthcare, where they had adopted it maybe a year and a half ago, and this really was an opportunity for them to showcase the capabilities of CRM and how they were able to use personalized marketing through, whether it was vaccines or just communication about elective surgeries, you know, getting them back to receiving care. They really leveraged that as an opportunity to sell to their internal leadership of like, hey, this is what we can do.
Yeah.
And they used it really as an opportunity to say, hey, we need some more investment from a technology standpoint. Yeah. And it was really well received. So I can't imagine that wasn't everyone's position, but for those that were ready on a consumer and data perspective, I think they really leveraged it well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's great to hear. And I think, I mean, if you look across the country, I think everyone is at a different stage of their CRM journey. So, I mean, that's great to know if, you know, Emory has been able to actually take and, you know, use it as a catalyst moment. I think in many other cases, it's a matter of, in a sense, the recognition of how underprepared we've been relative to those back-end technologies. And even if the technologies are in place, it's a question of, is the data connected? So you might have a front end or a marketing CRM, but is the CRM connected into the patient data that allows you to truly not only understand the patients, but even when you're talking about some of the initiatives that have needed to take place, thinking about vaccine eligibility and communicating out to people, like, do you have the wherewithal to be able to do that?
Hmm. There's a question that just came in that we can address because we're talking about CRMs. It says, about CRM, are there specific software recommendations for healthcare systems? Can it be operationalized without software? What are your thoughts there, Bjorn?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question, important question. You know, I think CRM's a tough one to do without true software. I mean, I think you can certainly do a little bit of it if you've got some, you know, wicked experts with Excel tracking and data mapping, but you're going to get overwhelmed as soon as you try to do anything more sophisticated. You know, relative to, you know, platforms themselves, I think there's obviously quite a number of companies out there. I think you're starting to see more and more consolidation in the field. And, you know, we're trying to obviously help a lot of clients through that navigation of which is best.
Yeah.
Because there isn't necessarily a single solution for everyone. You kind of have to assess what's going on within the system. What are their needs? What are they trying to do? But certainly, you know, you've got the Evarian Health Grades platform that a lot of systems use, and then Salesforce is certainly what a lot of other systems are starting to use more prolifically as well, just based on their not only marketing cloud but health cloud. So I don't know that I have a single answer on this podcast, but I certainly think it's something that you shouldn't try to rely solely on spreadsheets and a team to do.
Well, yeah, and I think that gets to the point of, is this just a marketing tool? Right?
No.
Is this just a tool for the marketing team? And that feels like a huge opportunity lost if that's the case, right? This needs to be system wide.
Yeah, sorry, Chase. I think that goes back to the point. Like, I think that's always been the issue, is if and where marketing CRM is a marketing platform and or a marketing challenge alone, that's where you're going to see, I mean, it's just going to be less effective.
Yeah.
But that's, again, where it's the trend here is consumer attunement, right? So right now you've got organizations that are better aware of either how important it is to be tuned into the voice, empathetically understand, and in doing so, it's not just, there's lots that can be said for having a more disciplined, like consumer research and insights function. But yes, on the CRM side, making sure that that's not a marketing solution, it's an enterprise solution. And what a perfect moment to use all of this experience to go and start to, you know, sell the investment to all of the people you've been collaborating with around the table.
Yeah, someone said in the chat, they've tried it to do it the cheap it way.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. it doesn't work, right? Like,
yeah.
And we would like for it to work. And maybe, and I know we had talked about maybe during the middle of the crisis, and obviously you can't set up a CRM in the middle of the crisis. And what were the ways around that? And I remember Chris Wickline came on and was like, let's just have all your physicians call the patients that, you know, had schedules coming up and trying to fill that pipeline. So that was one way of doing it. But long-term, showcasing the true value of marketing, it really needs that enterprise level of solution. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the other, you know, they're one of our clients right now is using this as a moment to step back and think about their brand strategy. And not brand from the standpoint of, you know, logo and what's our next brand campaign, but truly saying, is this a moment coming out of the pandemic, a moment for us to shift in a much more significant way? And so, you know, they're going through the effort of, like, in a sense, journey mapping the institution. Yeah. And saying, what are all the ways that people come into the system? Who are all the people that come into contact with the system? And getting organizational representation from around the system to start to collaboratively really understand, like, what is the true brand experience? And I think that's the other way to, you know, ultimately start to solve this, because you're better tuned into, like, the outside versus what we want from the inside. And I think that will naturally sort of uncover pain points and opportunities for different investment, different operational flow. Because a lot of the times, a lot of this stuff isn't really a marketing issue. There are issues that need to be solved within the organization or operations first.
Yeah. I think one trend we saw during a crisis, we held a kind of this all access, Joe Public all access virtual event a couple months ago. And we had asked 50 CMOs across the country, and we asked them, like, what's been the perception of your marketing team during this crisis? Has it gone up? Has it, the perception, I guess, from leadership, has it gone up? Has it stayed the same? Has it gotten worse? And in large part, I mean, I think we all would like to say that our perception has gone up, but I think that's true. And oh, yeah. I think one thing that can contribute to this perception and of value that we provide to the organization is our understanding of consumer. And of course, we want to provide this data and this kind of consumer preferences to our external marketing, but to really showcase that capability internally, it's a selling point for our team and for where we can provide that value within the organization.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I mean, it's a really important point. And I think you're right. So one, it's gotten this time and that perspective has gotten us a seat at tables that we haven't always had the opportunity to be a voice at. So let's not lose it. And then, yeah, the ability to continue to bring that in a colorful way forward. Was just talking to a client who they're thinking, and what they want to do is package. So going into their next fiscal planning cycle is think about, how do we actually put together, like, a consumer, almost like market voice trend presentation. So, you know, if you think how planning has normally been done, a lot of times it's much more inside out, right? Like,
yeah,
they meet with teams, some outside planning or perspective comes into it, but it's a lot on the whims and wishes of clinical leaders, et cetera, on where they think the opportunity is. This is like, how do you go and take the perspective from what's happening out in the world and bring that in as a as the leading edge to your planning cycle and make everyone think different by saying, here's what's going on. Here's what people are paying attention to. Here's what they're asking for. Wouldn't it make you shift a little bit if you're thinking about sitting down at your desk and starting to develop your thoughts for the next, you know, planning year?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot more informed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, let's jump in. Well, actually, quick pause here. If you have questions, feel free to put them into the Q&A tool. We'll make sure to answer them at the end of today's show. Bjorn, let's get to our last trend, which I'm actually really excited about because it's really important to me. It's really important to the people at Revive, is this idea of inclusive branding. Yeah, I'll let you dive into it before I give my point of view, but I'd love to hear the importance of inclusive branding. Not just, it's obviously seen a rise in the crisis in the last 12 months that with all the social unrest that's happened, but what's the need for this to continue on beyond this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so it is a, it's an important one. It's a, I think it's a, in some ways I feel like it becomes a tricky one and we can chat about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think when you think about the role of marketing, and now I'm specifically talking about marketing and really in any organization, I mean, healthcare or not, like a marketing team's purpose in any organization is to drive growth and really profitable growth or positive demand, right? And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that based on all the things that come in and come through. And I think there's an interesting tension as we think about moving back into that business of driving profitable demand and margin with what I think is equally important is a much better awareness and sensitivity towards inclusive branding. But when you think about all the work systems and organizations have been doing around DEI, is how do you also stay focused in that work and bring that work forward into you know, your marketing and brand values. It's something that I think is going to play out over the, you know, the next year, but it's something that that we need to be very top of mind about.
Yeah. I guess if I can poke and prod here a little bit more, like how do we go beyond just checking the diversity box, you know, of in our marketing efforts? It kind of reminds me of, if you've gone on a mission trip, there's a little bit of a stigma of people coming into a country and fixing things and making it better. And that's great. But at some point you leave. And so how as systems, how do we not just make this a mission trip that we're on? Because we can't just leave. This is a moment where we need to stay and really make a difference.
Yeah. Your metaphor is great, because I think the way you just described it is even better, right? The notion of leaving, because I would say we can't just leave. Well, if you were to poll in most communities, I think what you would hear and have done a fair bit of moderating of discussions, particularly over the last 4 or 5 months with Black Americans and with the Latinx, Hispanic, Latin community. And what they would tell you is, well, I didn't necessarily ever feel like you were here. And what they're most worried about is as soon as this is all over, is that you are going to go away. And I think it is intrinsically then baked in some real issues of trust.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, at the end of the day, that's the big issue is, as marketers, I think we have to hold our institutional leaders' feet to the fire, that that this is not an issue that we can market our way out of. This is something that is going to require commitment and continuity and practice around if we're going to sort of set a different narrative when it comes to the inclusiveness of our brand.
Yeah, and I think there's this notion that as health systems, we didn't used to speak on these, you know, topics and issues in the world. And that I think has changed. That I mean, I know we've talked to some CMOs around the country, and they're like, I feel like I have to make a press release to everything right now. And some of that is true, but this is one of those that this goes way beyond a press release and beyond checking the diversity box in your marketing efforts. It's an issue that I think you're right. We have, that's our role in this is to hold the C-suite and the leadership to the feet to the fire, kind of like you said.
Well, I think it goes also back to just, we also as institutions need to better understand what is really going on. And I think through understanding, we can always be better marketers and brand builders. Because I think it's easy to sort of read, you know, there's lots and lots of research at this point, but how do we take that and continue to actually go out and have conversations with people in the communities that we serve to know what's truly going on? I mean, I'll give you an example. So
yeah,
we've been doing a lot of work for one client. And as we, you know, as all the marketing conversations, we talk more and more about, like, we've got to go digital, right? Everything is digital first, da, 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 da. But if you look at where vaccination rates are trending lowest, where vaccination hesitancy is highest, at the moment, it's with the Latinx community, and particularly in sort of the underserved, you know, low income, low household or low education. And so to think the way to solve that is to do it via digital. Well, one, you know, we've quickly realized that's probably not the best way. Certainly we can get them via social media and things, but to ask them to then go in and sign up for vaccines via online tools may not be, if that's the only option, the best option. We have to think about, you know, dedicated Spanish phone lines. We have to think about old school direct mail, still super effective. Mm-hmm. But also messaging, you know, we recognize that as much as we've been very quick to try to like solution by saying, we just need to get out and we need to tell them that the vaccines are highly effective. And, you know, the Latinx community was part of clinical trials and all the things that, you know, you're hearing everywhere. But what we've learned is that for a large portion, or certainly a portion of this community, what they're most worried about, why they're hesitant, is because they're worried they're going to be asked to give a social security number when they go in to get their vaccine. And again, that's relevant to vaccines, but when you fast forward it, it is again this idea of how well do we know the people that we serve? And if we don't really know what life is like, how do we meet their needs and think about everyday health needs and certainly complex acute needs in a more valuable, important way?
The all more importance to know our consumers better, right? We can't just know the age of the people in our CRM, or it's really got to be connected to the patient records so that we can truly serve them better and serve them what they need. So this is good. Bjorn, we got one question and then we'll close it out for today. It says, how do you see your client leaders' willingness to engage in long-term changes needed? Most of the markets I serve are still experiencing significant volume gaps. It's been hard to get them to move from a defensive crouch.
Well, I mean, I think part of it is, again, trying to, like, anything that we as marketers can do to start to. So one, I would just constantly go in with that temperament of, like, every client I know is exhausted, period. Yeah. I know as consultants, like, we sometimes feel it, but it's a different heaviness when you're working inside of a health system. I mean, your colleagues on the front line with what they've confronted over the last year, I mean, you just can't put words to it. And that the whole system feels it. And so, like, I think that's part of what creates that defensive stance is just like their ability to kind of get, like, how do I find a way to refresh in order to get that renewal. I think that's, you know, so some of it. I think anything that we can be doing to bring forward ideas and perspective about what's been going on while we've been away. So things like Amazon Health and some of these other brands that have been doing a lot to invest and continue to kind of think and evolve the way healthcare is received. How do we bring some conversation starters into these organizations that just, again, brings a little bit of that creativity back into conversations? And then some of it is just, you know, continuing to help them focus and prioritize and push towards a bigger vision and view that's oriented around the consumer, like we've been talking about through much of this conversation. You know, trust that they'll get there, you know, continue to work with them. And most of the clients that we're working with are excited to start to talk about, frankly, something other than COVID and vaccines.
Yes, I think there's definitely a, like the exhaustion is there, but the interest into the next phase of this, right? Into getting back to maybe even more, you know, traditional marketing efforts that we're used to. And it reminds me of when we used to not be able to operate our systems. It used to only be able to be a COVID kind of hospital. And then at some point operationally, we were able to operate a COVID floor and also have elective surgeries. From that standpoint, it feels like we kind of have to have two parallel paths going on from a marketing perspective. It's that marketing that the planning for the future, but still operating in the here and now. And that is pretty daunting a little bit to be able to operate in both places. But I think there's no way to stop current efforts to continue to drive surgical volume, but also you can't wait to address these long-term issues that we're seeing.
I mean, start small too. I mean, I think sometimes the whole thing can feel overwhelming if you're, again, going from the seismic element that's been COVID to now we've got to help every single person in the organization get back to renewal. So pick a few concentration areas and start there just to get, you know, the team thinking again that way and show them that, you know, that there is a way to think and do things differently.
Well, Bjorn, this has been great. I think this is where we'll end it. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. I know I really enjoyed it. I'm sure the other attendees did too.
Thank you. Always good to see you.
Yeah, you too. And Gretchen, thanks for filling in as producer for today.
Thanks for letting me join today.
Yeah, of course. Well, please let us know if there's something you'd like us to cover by posting in the chat or by shooting us an email at nonormal@thinkrevivehealth.com. We want to make sure we're talking about things that are of interest to you. So put those in the chat when you can. And remember to visit thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19 for a recording of today's episode and all of our content related to this crisis. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, good luck out there in the no normal. Thanks, everybody.